Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, Apex Church. So good to be with you today and to continue our series, Hope Has a Name. Well, I was so blessed by Pastor Neil's message last week, and it was so good to hear about some of the traditions that himself and Pastor Phyllis continue to enjoy in this Christmas season. And in our household, we've been starting some traditions. And just this last week, we got together with our son Daniel to write his letter to Santa. And he did so well in colouring in the letter and sticking on some stickers. And we helped him to write down what he was hoping that Santa would bring to him on Christmas Day. It was great to go with him and to post that into the letterbox. And he'll have to wait until Christmas Day to find out if he gets everything that he was hoping for. You know, it's been moments like that this year that has brought us a lot of joy in the midst of all the challenges there has been. I'm sure you'll agree, this has been an interesting year. It's been a stormy year filled with its challenges. All of us have been impacted directly or indirectly by this global pandemic. But there was one moment of relief and respite. On Thursday, the 12th of November, Scotland's hopes were fulfilled. After 22 years of exile from a major tournament, Scotland qualified for the Euros. You know, it's been so many years since we've played in a major tournament, and we found every single way to make sure we didn't qualify, whether it was dodgy refereeing decisions, last-minute equalisers, or poor results away from home, we always found a way. Until that night in Serbia, I was sitting on the edge of my seat in my kitchen watching the penalty shootout on my iPad through my hands. And it came to that decisive penalty when our hero, David Marshall, saved the penalty to send us into the Euros finals. What a great moment that was. I jumped off my seat. I couldn't contain my joy. And probably it took till the next day till it really sunk in what had actually happened. Now, the last time we qualified for a major tournament, I was still in primary school. Now, there's some people at home right now, and you know exactly that feeling that I'm talking about. But there's other people who are thinking, come on, Daniel, it's a game of football. Well, the Bible tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, life has many ups and downs. Just like following Scotland, there are those downs as well. But if you put your hope in this world, and maybe in your success at work, or your bank balance, relationships, or even the outcomes to circumstances, you'll always be disappointed, you'll always be discouraged, and there'll be times where you're doubtful. But if you know Jesus, you can put your hope in him. And that hope is a certain hope. It's firm and secure. He'll never disappoint you. When you put your hope in him, you'll be able to say, like that proverb, that every longing has been satisfied, and you can experience the fullness of God's blessing. But how can we know this hope in the midst of the challenges and the storms of life? How do we know hope when we feel disappointed, discouraged, and doubtful? Well, we can turn to the Bible today and we look to the people of Israel who experienced many years of captivity and exile. And even during the time when Jesus is born, they are under Roman oppression. It's 700 years since Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be born. And they've waited all this time. Last week, Pastor Neil told us that Mary had been with her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months, and then she returns to break the news to Joseph that she is with child and she is carrying the Son of God. A little bit of a bombshell for Joseph. And that's where we pick up today when we consider Joseph's perspective. In your Bible, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 18 together. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, scripture here is quite matter of fact. It doesn't tell us about the struggle that Mary and Joseph must have gone through in this moment. Let's be real for a moment. Mary and Joseph are not superhuman. They are normal humans like you and me. They're not cartoon characters. They're not fictional. They're real people. And they are an example for us to follow. This must have been pretty hard for Joseph to comprehend. Now, Mary's had the divine encounter with the angel, and she's had that first-hand knowledge, but she's passing it on now to Joseph, and he's going to try and get his head around it. Now, the Bible tells us little but enough about Joseph to explain to us what kind of person he is. It's easy for us looking back that we can think, well, this was all part of God's plan of salvation, but at this moment, Joseph didn't have that luxury. But Joseph is described as someone who is faithful to the law. However, Mary's pregnancy out with marriage was not faithful to the law in normal circumstances. Joseph's actions, though, show us that he is a compassionate and gracious man. He has a dilemma. He loves Mary, but at the same time, he wants to remain faithful to the law. If you found yourself in a moment during this year, or even maybe right now, where you've been torn, or you've been in a point where you felt disappointed, you've been doubtful, you've been discouraged, well, today we can look to the life of Joseph and we can find hope that in the midst of our doubts and our fears, our disappointments and discouragement, we can still have hope. You see, in normal circumstances, Joseph here wants to protect Mary and thinks of how he can resolve this complex matter. And the Bible says that Joseph considered what he should do. He didn't act rashly. He didn't just respond. He gave some time to think of how they could resolve this complex situation. And in that moment of him considering, he has a dream where he is visited by an angel. But Joseph's actions here teach us that he is integrous, that he is a gracious person, that he is considerate and compassionate. I would say that's incredible virtues for any husband or father. But actually, it's the ideal choice to be the father to the Son of God here on earth and to be the wife of Mary, husband of Mary. However, these are not normal circumstances. And to borrow a phrase from 2020 that's been used way too much, these are unprecedented times. Joseph is in a dilemma, and the angel visits him to give him direction and instruction. He's reassured and encouraged to marry Mary because the child that is within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. In that dream, the angel tells Joseph what the child's name will be, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The Bible also tells us that he would be known as Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph's hope was found in the name of the child. Joseph could cling on to that hope in the midst of the challenges leading up to his birth and after he is born. The hope was found in the name of Jesus. No, Jesus is your only hope. Christian, you have a certain hope. Your hope is found in Jesus. That hope is that inner feeling within you that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. But it also looks to our future in heaven. Your hope is secure through what Jesus has done for you. Right now, in this moment, you can live in that hope, but we also look forward to a future where we will be with him forever. What a blessing it is to know that hope. So how can our hope remain certain in the midst of the storms and the challenges of life? Well, the writer to Hebrews tells us in chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, he says these words, that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Hope is an anchor, and Jesus is that anchor. He is your hope. Right at the start of Jesus' life, one of the first places that his parents take him is to the temple in Jerusalem, because that is where he would be consecrated with being the firstborn son of Mary and Joseph. And in that earthly temple, every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go through a strict protocol preparation procedure to go into the holiest place in the temple, the inner sanctuary. And to do so, he would go past the curtain, and when he was in there, he'd burn incense, but he'd also sprinkle blood on the altar, and in doing so, he would make amends for his sin and the sin of the nation. Well, at the end of Jesus' life, whilst he is upon the cross, bearing the sin of the world, he bears his last breath. And in that moment, he releases his spirit. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27, it says that in that moment, the curtain in that temple was torn from the top to the bottom. That which separated the holiest place in the temple on earth in that moment was ripped open, and in that moment Jesus breaks down the barrier between humanity and God in heaven. Jesus becomes the bridge. He deals with the sin issue that we no longer need to be separated from our Father in heaven, but we can be in right relationship with him through Jesus. That's what Jesus came to do. He is our Savior. That's what his name means. He'll save his people from their sins. Jesus is your only hope. You can have hope today because Jesus is your Savior. We also read in this passage that they would call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We can look back to the Old Testament, to Exodus. And in Exodus, we learn about how Moses built the tabernacle, which was the meeting place between the people of Israel and God. And in the tabernacle, there was a place called the Holy of Holies, which was separated by a curtain. And once again, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go through that procedure to enter into that holy place to make atonement for the sins of himself and of the nation. But in the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, it held the Ten Commandments, the tablets, but there, on top of there was the mercy seat. But the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God on earth. When Jesus died upon the cross, He tore that curtain in two, and he made available the presence of God for each and every one of us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in that moment, the Holy Spirit resides within you. You have hope today because Emmanuel, God with us. The presence of God is with you in the midst of the storm. How could Joseph know hope in the midst of the challenges that he was going through? He knew the name of the child. He knew Jesus. He knew Emmanuel, God with us. You have hope today because Jesus is your Savior. That Jesus has made it possible for you to experience the presence of God in the midst of the storm. You can know that hope. I want to ask you today, do you know that hope? Are you living in the security of that hope? There was a man from Austria, and he visited London. He went on this journey to go to Big Ben. He was fascinated by the bell, and he wanted to go and see it. And the tour guide led him up to the top of the Elizabeth Tower, and at 12 o'clock, they stood together, and they listened to Big Ben chime. And as they listened to the bell resound, tears began to stream down his face. And the tour guide asked him, "Is everything okay?" And the man said, "Oh, you don't understand." After the bells had stopped chiming, he explained to the tour guide that during the Second World War, as a child, he would go down to the basement with his father in a discreet place, and they would tune in to the BBC World Service. And they would listen at the top of the hour for the sound of Big Ben. And in the midst of everything that was happening in Europe during the World War, they knew if they could hear the sound of Big Ben, there was still hope. If you need hope today, I want to encourage you to speak the name of Jesus. Because when you speak the name of Jesus, and when you hear the name of Jesus, you hear hope. If you need hope today, speak out his name. Because in that name is the hope that is an anchor for your soul, which is firm and secure, which will never disappoint, which will never fail you. In the midst of every challenge, you can speak that name and your heart will be filled with hope. Well, you're watching me today, and maybe you've never made a decision to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Until you do, you'll never know the hope that I talk of today. But it's available for you right now. You might find yourself in a place of despair. You could be discouraged, despondent, disillusioned with life. You're like what the proverb said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You just feel like your heart is sick all the time because you don't have the hope that I'm talking about today. I want to give you an opportunity right now to receive that hope. As I explained, when Jesus died upon the cross, he bore the sin of the world. He took your place. He took your sin. He became the sacrifice once and for all. No longer do we need to go through the process of the old system of religious rites and sacrificing every year. Jesus, once and for all, was that sacrifice. He dealt with it. And because he took your place and shed his blood, you now have the opportunity to ask him to forgive you of all the rubbish in your life. The Bible calls sin, not things that you regret, the rubbish that makes your heart sick. Jesus came to deal with that. And when he died upon the cross, he took your place, he took the penalty that you deserved, but he made it possible for you to come back into right relationship with your Father in heaven. And in doing so, he opens up the way that for all eternity, you'll be in heaven with him. I want to give you that opportunity right now to receive the hope, to receive forgiveness, to start a new life with Jesus, not just to impact your today, but forever. You're watching me right now. You say, "Daniel, that's me. I want to begin that life." Well, can you just follow me in this very simple prayer and mean it sincerely from your heart? Just say these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world. You died upon the cross. You took my place. You took my sin. I recognize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I confess you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time right now, or maybe this is a moment for you to make a fresh commitment, I want to encourage you to please let us know, because I want to celebrate with you. So can you maybe in the chat just say I prayed that prayer, or send us an email to info@apexcentre.org.uk, and we'll connect with you and we'll help you on starting out on your journey with Jesus. Friend, you know Jesus already, but maybe if we're being honest, this has been a difficult year. It's been a stormy year. There's been many disappointments. There's been discouragements. And if I'm being honest, there's been times when you've really questioned, God, where are you in this? I want to encourage you to speak the name of Jesus. Because if you know his name, and when you speak his name, you'll hear hope. And in the midst of the noise of this world, everything you're hearing on the news, everything you're seeing on social media, everybody else's opinions, there's really only one that counts. And it's the word in the name Jesus. So I want to encourage you in your home, if you feel like that today, speak his name. I want to pray for you right now that your heart would be filled with that hope. So Father, I pray to everyone who is watching me right now, if they feel despondent, discouraged, disillusioned, disappointed, doubtful, I pray the name of Jesus, a fresh revelation of that name, that the life that there is in that name would come alive within them, that you would fill them afresh with that hope, which is firm and is secure, unshakable. We call upon that name which is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it, and they are saved. I declare that name over their life and over their situations. Let them know your hope afresh today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, now in this point in our service, we're going to join together and share communion. Well, we remember that Jesus is that great high priest, that he is the sacrifice once and for all for our sins. And we can celebrate together that we're no longer dead in our trespasses and our sins, but we are alive in Christ forevermore.